This morning, I want to talk with you about the issues of laziness and diligence. Might be an interesting topic to come back from vacation with, but laziness is the topic. We're going to start our study of Colossians in the next week or so, but I'm working on that still, so I wanted to do this today. Now, laziness is not something that you don't know something about. If you're like most people, you have to fight it. You fight the temptation to be slack and lackadaisical and careless and lazy. And if you're successful in resisting that temptation, then you very likely noticed some of the people who have not been so successful. They bring an interesting perspective to the idea of laziness. They say things like, it's not fair that other people have things that I don't have. I want that. It's not fair. It's easy for them to have it, and I can't get it. And someone else should give it to me because I want it, and it's not fair. And I'm entitled. Lazy people are going to get busy later. Right now, it's pretty inconvenient, but later it's going to be convenient, and that's when they're going to get busy and get to work. It's different for them. It's easy for other people, but you don't understand how hard it is for them. And it's not their fault, and it's not fair. Laziness and diligence are issues that are before you every day. You see the issues in your own heart as you do battle with the temptations of the flesh, and you see examples all around you of people who have fought off the temptation to laziness and have lived diligent lives, and you see people who have not done that, who are committed to laziness. Now, these are issues the Bible has a great deal to say about. The Bible points out the short-sightedness of the habitually lazy person. We're going to get in a minute to Proverbs 13, but right now I just want to give you a few verses on this topic. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, "The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing." Now, sluggard is another word for a lazy person. It's someone who is sluggish and lazy. And that verse tells us that that person is only thinking about right now. What feels good right now? And so after the autumn, when you've got your harvest in and you need to do work right now to prepare for a harvest that's months and months away, the lazy person goes, "Oh no, I got my food. I don't want to go out there and work." And so he will not plow after the autumn. And then many months later, when the harvest comes, he's got nothing. And he wonders why it's so easy for everyone else and so hard for himself. There's no thought to the future, and there's no thought to the future consequences of today's actions. When it's time to plow, they don't plow. Now, the Bible also teaches that habitually lazy people are stubborn in their commitment to being lazy. Proverbs 21, verse 25 says, "The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work." That's stubbornness to the death. That's a commitment to laziness that in some people is not going to change. It will kill them. They're not going to work no matter how bad it gets, no matter what circumstances come their way. You've seen it. The Bible even tells us why these things sometimes happen in people. The habitually lazy person has an aversion to reality. And that flawed perspective is what feeds the other problems, is what generates the symptoms. Proverbs 26 and verse 16 says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer." Think about that. If you were plagued with that mindset, that you're wiser than any seven people put together, then you're not going to listen to anybody, are you? After all, you already know many times more than that person talking knows, and so such a person remains convinced that it's not his fault, that somehow he's been mistreated, that others should sacrifice so that he can have what he wants, and that it's not fair for him to have what he wants so badly and can't get. A lazy person will not hear rebuke, will not receive teaching, will not sit down and do any serious self-analysis, because the lazy person thinks he knows more than anybody else knows. And that proud, sinful self-exaltation that's coming up from within his own heart keeps him in bondage to that laziness. Well, those few verses are a good warning for all of us, aren't they? Who doesn't battle with this temptation? We're all tempted this way sometimes. And those verses are very helpful, if we think about them, to show us the telltale signs if we're drifting into those kind of habits, to help us recognize the flaws in our thinking before we're so entrenched that we're not going to listen to anybody. Maybe they'll help us to fight off the temptation, to recognize what's happening and what the issues are. But there's another proverb I want us to focus on today, because it brings out another aspect of this choice between laziness and diligence, and it's the most important aspect that it brings out, and it very clearly. The text is Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. It says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat." Now, this is a verse that mentions the lazy person like those others did, and this one mentions the diligent person. This verse mentions the lack that comes as a result of laziness. And here, the lazy person gets nothing, which is sobering. Nothing. But when this verse mentions the diligent person in contrast to the lazy person, it uses the word soul. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, it's certainly true that the spiritual issue of laziness will affect a person's ability to have things in this world, possessions, comforts, something to give. But this verse is not about those material things that you will have or you will not have based on whether you're willing to work. This verse is about the spiritual impact of the spiritual issue of laziness, not the physical impact of that issue. This verse is not about you lacking comforts in this world because you wouldn't work. This is not about whether you're going to be physically hungry because you will not work. This is about the well-being of that much more important part of you that the Bible calls the soul. This is a spiritual issue. And the startling reality that this little simple proverb makes so clear is that all of that stuff that applies to diligence or laziness in the physical realm also applies in the spiritual realm. It's just as true. All of that stuff, the excuses are all the same. You may have noticed. You may have noticed your own heart welling up with these. You may know people who are saying those same excuses, but they're saying them about why they don't have any spiritual resources. It's not my fault. It's not fair that other people should be so blessed and I'm not blessed in that way. It's different for them. It's easy for them. They expect spiritual good for nothing. They expect someone else to accomplish it for them. Didn't we hire the pastor for that? Well, didn't we? Thank you for laughing. That's good. It's good that you know. But such people are shocked to think that they might have some personal responsibility for the well-being of their own spiritual lives. They insist they're going to get to that later. Right now, you know, we're kind of busy. As if life won't be busy next week, next month, next year. They're going to get to the spiritual things as soon as they get past this hard stuff. When it's more convenient, that's when they're going to do it. And surely it'll be convenient after this, as if nothing else is going to come up in life. Just can't do it right now. These factors make it too hard. You don't understand. It's different for me. I want you to think about the idea of the sluggard's soul getting nothing. That's what this verse says. It means that everything that galls you about the mindset of the entitlement people in the welfare state is just as true about your spiritual life The stakes are a lot higher. But the excuses are the same. And the flaws in the thinking that lead to the excuses are the same. When Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, "The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing." That's not limited to someone who works in an agricultural economy. It could be just as true of the guy who sits at his computer. But it's also true spiritually. It applies just as well to the needs of the soul. If you won't do the necessary things, you won't have a harvest. People exercise no foresight in regards to their soul. And then they wonder why the rest of the church is being blessed and they're drying up inside. Why am I hungry when everyone else seems so content? You didn't plow. When Proverbs 21:25 says the desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work, it is not limiting that truth or those consequences to stubbornness in the physical realm. A stubborn refusal to do what needs to be done applies just as well spiritually. And if those apply well, this one really makes it clear. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Proverbs 26:16. What if you come to church that way? What if you're not that way at work, but you're that way at church? Oh, I know more than he knows. Oh my goodness, is that all he knows? If you can't be taught by a six-year-old who happens to get one right, your heart's in trouble. If you're wiser than any seven people you know, repent. It's a spiritual issue. Here's where we have to be really careful. When we start thinking about laziness within the church, it's easy to miss stuff. Because a person can be lazy in one part of life and not appear to be lazy in another part of life. Have you ever known someone who will not work, but who will exhaust himself in his hobby, in his sport? Can't get a full day's work, but man, he'll ride that bike forever. Or jog, or windsurf, or whatever it is. You know, I mean, sweat for their pleasures, but not do what needs to be done. That's still laziness. And so, some people who exhibit no signs of laziness at work or at home may be painfully lazy in the realm of their spiritual well-being, the needs of their own soul. They work hard at work, they work hard at home. They may even have very little patience for those who will not work. They may resent the taxes that take their money and give it to someone and pay them for not working, but still be sluggish and careless and lazy about their own souls. They don't think about it. They don't make any effort. They take it for granted. They assume someone else is going to do it for them. All they need to do is take it in every now and then when they feel the need. They don't have any responsibility beyond that. Do you see the danger? It calls for some careful self-analysis. And so let me put before you again this proverb. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. This is a contrast between two different kinds of people, two kinds of lives with very different results. One gets nothing, the other grows fat. One has no resources at all, the other has an abundance, more than enough, more than can be used up, so some of it has to be stored. That's what fat's about. One has nothing even for today. Nothing means nothing. One has plenty for today and abundant resources for the future days. Even if things get hard, the one who's grown fat will have something to draw on because of his diligence. These two people are at polar opposites. And the difference is one guy's diligent and one guy's lazy. Now, even though this contrast is extreme, it is not a complete contrast. There's one thing everybody has in common. The lazy thing, the lazy person and the diligent person have something in common in this verse. Each of them craves good things. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. But the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, you have to assume the diligent guy had to want it too. So they both want it. Everybody craves good things. But notice that the sluggard craves them. He wants good things. It says his soul craves them. That sounds like a pretty deep down kind of craving to me. He longs for the blessings and benefits that he sees other people having. For his soul, he wants them. He sees them as good. He would like to have them. He recognizes that they're blessings and he wants them very badly. Crave is a pretty strong word. Gentlemen, can I have a witness? How many who have children have been somewhere in the middle of the night to meet a craving? A craving is a funny thing, isn't it? It's very specific. Even as simple as food. Substitute food doesn't cut it. You can try. Oh, honey, eat this instead. You're still going to the store, man. Because this is the nature of a craving. So you smile and you go to the store and you ask if there's anything else when you get back. Do you need anything else? That's how we need to do it. The fact that the sluggard craves good things for his soul is significant. I need to think about this. We might make the mistake of thinking that the craving is enough to demonstrate some measure of godliness, some kind of spiritual good standing with God. You might see someone who has an apparent desire for good things spiritually and take that to mean that the person has something in the way of spiritual resources. He's interested. My goodness, we meet enough people who are not interested. He's seeking in some way, for something. He's certainly not antagonistic as others are, so we may assume this guy's well on his way. Since he desires the benefits of the church, since he longs for the good things that only God can give, we may assume that someone like that is godly. Now, there are entire systems based on that wrong assumption. People present a distortion of the gospel that Jesus gives us in the scripture, a distortion, not the real gospel, and they say, Jesus wants you to have a better life. He wants you to have better relationships. He wants you to have a better job with a better boss. He might even want you to have a better car. And people hear this and they think, wow, that sounds like a pretty good deal. They leave out the call to repentance that is the gospel. They leave out Jesus' promise of persecution for everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus. They leave out the promise of suffering that is given to us in Scripture that every saint is going to endure. And then with this false gospel, they see somebody who wants the better job, who wants the better car, and they think, wow, he's saved. No, he's not. He's just selfish. And you offered him what he wants. This proverb alone should be enough to stop that foolishness, because it says the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. Is that not proof enough from God's word that the craving is not enough? That longing for good things spiritually is not the same as having them? It's not a promise of getting them. Wanting blessings is no proof of salvation. Who doesn't want blessings? It's possible to want them and not get them. And the reason it's possible is because the sluggard will not attend to the things that God has said to do in order to have them. The sluggard will not apply himself to do what God has commanded everyone to do. And so he wants it, but he gets nothing because he won't do it. At the same time that that's going on in that guy's life, the soul of the diligent is made fat. I don't know how you get a fat soul. You know, we're talking about clarity. It's clear to me this is not literal. Fat here is in a positive sense, though. It's not in the negative way we might think of it in a society where almost everyone over 30 is trying to lose weight. Think about this as abundance. Abundance of resources, more than enough for today, a resource for the future, plenty stored up. What this means is that the soul of the diligent is well provided for. There's nothing lacking. And the character issue presented here that accounts for this extreme difference is laziness or diligence in the heart of the individual. Now, this is one of the many passages in Scripture that emphasize our responsibility. There are a great many passages that very clearly articulate God's sovereignty and salvation. This verse is not in conflict with those. This does not mean that by working hard you can save yourself. There's no chance of that being the meaning of Scripture. The only hope that any person has in seeking to overcome sin and the things that plague our souls because of sin is accepting Jesus Christ, believing in Him, believing His gospel, is recognizing that God provided salvation in Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven by which you must be saved. That truth is so clear in Scripture. And yet this same book teaches that you still have responsibilities. It works like this. God commands you to believe the gospel, to obey the gospel, is how Scripture often puts it, and you have to do it. God says repent, and you have to repent. And if you don't repent, you remain at odds with Him because He's commanded it, and you won't do it. He calls you. You have to come. And this verse is about that responsibility. The soul of the diligent is made fat. We can't leave out that responsibility. It doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor a sovereign God to leave out what He put in. You have to obey. You have to respond. So what does a diligent person do that God blesses so much? There is doing that has to take place. I pray that you see that. Diligence speaks of action, doesn't it? It's got to be more than thinking something. It's got to be more than knowing something. In fact, diligence has to be effective action. That's why the guy that rides his bike all day when he's supposed to be at work is still lazy. He's doing something, but he's not doing anything that's going to meet the need. Running in circles is not diligence. Diligence is doing what needs to be done, is it not? So as this regards your soul, the Bible is very clear on what needs to be done. The very first thing that has to happen for there to be any possibility of any spiritual benefit at all is that the sinner has to repent of sin and obey the gospel, has to believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus' provision for sin is enough, that that's all there is. And Jesus, God, has provided that salvation that the sinner needs. His sacrifice on the cross on our behalf is all that it takes to forgive all of your sins forever. And the command of Scripture is for you to believe that gospel and obey it, to repent and turn to Him. Everyone who does has forgiveness of sins. That's the first need. That's the first thing that has to be done. It's the very first requirement. And the diligent do that because that's what needs to be done. They do that thing that's going to help. They embrace the hope that is in Jesus Christ alone. And they refuse to waste effort doing something that's not going to help, that's not going to meet needs. To be diligent with the needs of your soul, you have to begin there. Repent and believe the gospel. Salvation in Jesus Christ alone. After that begins the diligent work of the Christian life, walking in Him. When once you have embraced that only hope of salvation, then you've got to learn the Scriptures. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to be about the spiritual work of developing discernment, coming to understand better who this Lord is whom we serve. And diligent people are careful and methodical about doing the things that will help, doing what is called for. Now, I want to make clear that this is not the same as impulsiveness. This is opposite of impulsiveness. We see a lot of impulsive Christians. You hear a message and you have a knee-jerk reaction, and it looks good for about that long, and then it's over. That's not diligence. What that is a craving, and that's all. You know, you don't have any follow-through. The diligent are careful and methodical and consistent. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." You see those opposites? Diligence and hastiness. And the hasty guy is getting to the same place the lazy guy gets, because it's all part of the same character. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. Do you have a plan for your own spiritual growth? Are you being consistent? Now, a proverb is a truism that can be applied to a lot of things in life. I want to apply this one to just two possibilities. You can take it from there. There are many other ways to think about this. One possibility is that you showed up here this morning still at odds with God, still in your sin, never having repented, never having obeyed the gospel. Maybe you never understood it before, but that's where you are today. If that's the case for you, then I say to you that you have to apply diligence to that need. There's no skipping over it. There's no going around it. You have to deal with that first spiritual need. You have to believe the gospel, that Jesus died for sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that God raised Him on the third day according to the Scripture. Believe that and be saved. That's where it starts. Any other response than that is simply a refusal to do what has to be done. No matter how busy it looks, it's spiritual laziness. It's rebellion. It's saying, I know more than that. I'm not going to listen to that. I know more than that person knows. Any other response besides repentance and faith is a willful refusal to do what has to be done. It's a willful refusal to submit your life to the God who saves. Your only hope is to come to repentance. I urge you to do that today. If that's the condition you find yourself in, you go to God, you beg for mercy, and He will not turn you away. Settle for nothing less than what's going to help. Be diligent. Another possible way to apply this same proverb is to the life of a Christian who has slipped into a habit of laziness in the Christian life. If you showed up here this morning and that's your condition, then it does not mean that your soul is any eternal danger. But because you've become sluggish and lazy in your spiritual life, you still lack as a Christian. Maybe you have been in this pattern for a while. Maybe you're coming to church craving and you feel like you're getting nothing. And the first response for most people is to blame someone else for that. You know, I'm not getting fed. I just don't get anything out of the church anymore. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe you want to blame somebody else. Maybe you think it's actually different for you. It's harder for you. But the truth lies in your willingness to be diligent as a Christian. Maybe it seems that others are growing around you and you're not growing and you're frustrated, and maybe God brought you here today just for this proverb. Because that's nowhere for a Christian to live. That's not where you want to be. That's not where any of your brothers and sisters want you to be, as we love you in this church. But if you think that it's going to get better later, I want to warn you that it never does. You can't repent later. You might, but you can't decide now to repent later. That's just deciding not to repent. It'll just get worse. And so if you've fallen into laziness as a believer, the only solution is for you to repent now. and resolve to be diligent, to do the things that will help in your spiritual life, to be methodical, persistent. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. Make a plan. There's no quick fix. Do you know it takes time to get fat? It does. It doesn't happen overnight. And so this diligent person in this verse whose soul grows fat, it took time. There's no quick fix. But I'll tell you this, if you've been a Christian long enough to be frustrated with your spiritual walk, you probably know already what you need to do. And if you don't know, sitting around and thinking about it for a few minutes, you'll probably know. So the question is not, what do I do most of the time? The question is, will I do it? Will I do it? Will I do the things that will help and stop wasting time on things that won't help? God's given you a certain amount of time, a certain amount of energy. If you use it all up on things He never meant for you to do, you will not have any left for the things you're supposed to be doing. It's like a budget, you know, you only have 100%. So stop using it up on stuff that's not going to help and start pouring your energy into the things that you already know will help, and you'll see a change in your life. And over time, you'll have a fat soul, man. It'll be good. This proverb is a useful test for every person here this morning. It asks some questions we need to be willing to ask of ourselves and answer. Are you lazy about your own spiritual good? Are you making excuses? Are you blaming others? Are you refusing to be taught by anyone? Or are you diligent, careful and methodical, consistent, doing the things that will help, starting with salvation and moving on from there to the things that are so obviously a part of a sound spiritual life? Will you check yourself? And will you do what needs to be done? Let's pray.